Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Balbon. Good to have you back once again. Was it good to have football back? Not so sure. Was it fun? Did we enjoy it? I'm not sure. We're soon going to find out. Joining me this evening is Mr. Lee Curtin and Kofi. How are we doing, guys? You well?
Yeah, very well.
Good. So, obviously, we had a first game against Man United. And it was one of those frustrating games. It felt like we were the sort of away team trying to hold on to a 2-0 lead for most of it. I don't know. Let's start at the beginning. Let's talk about the lineup. So, Lee, over to you. When we saw, obviously, the fact that we had the mighty Eric Dier alongside Big Dave, Davinson Sanchez at the back, were you scared as we were not to see any real sort of like, you know, leader there? I mean, Dier, I thought I actually played well, to be fair, apart from, you know, the error, which I'm sure we're going to come on and talk about in a bit. But, I mean, were you, when you saw that, did it scream? I mean, obviously, we had Serge on the right, which, again, is not really your cup of tea. Were you as worried as the rest of us when you saw those two at centre-back?
I think if you listen back to the last podcast, you probably knew I was more worried than most, because I did mention probably in terms of Dier, that he's one of those players that he's at his best when he's playing a regular amount of games. So it's when he's on a continuous run of games. I found when we've just stuck him in or when he's trying to fill in gaps, he seems to look rusty, slow, off the pace. And I think I said in last week's podcast, having him in there, if that was the case, and Serge, there's got to be a mistake. However, in Dier's defence, I thought he played quite well. I thought he marshalled the defence quite well. Actually, I watched the game with the sound fake crowd off. So you could hear it. You could hear quite a bit. Actually, you could hear a bit of talking. You could hear a bit of organising. And I thought he did well. I thought he did well in that, and a great block from Martial, because I think that was definitely important. So, unfortunately, for those fans who are not really massive Dier fans, they will kind of home in on the penalty. And we could probably talk about that a little bit later. But overall, I thought he did well. I thought Serge didn't do particularly well. And that's not me just being anti-Serge. I thought he was very wasteful with the ball. And he's got a bad habit of losing the ball in the opposition's final third, when everybody's bombed up, and he always leaves.
Just hits the first man, doesn't he? Just hits the first man with a low ball. It's very rarely that he actually sort of whips one in anymore. That seems to be his go-to ball when we've got men in the box.
It's always inside, Noel. It's only like a 5-10 yard pass that he just tries to thread inside the pitch, and it keeps getting intercepted, and they just go off for the break. So there was no real surprises there. He kind of did what I thought he might do. And then the rest of the lineup pretty much picked itself. I think if we kind of go back, I was expecting to see Moura, but obviously he was injured. So I think the front four probably picked itself on the day. I know Lo Celso was carrying an injury. Otherwise, he's got to be a certain starter in that team. So, I was a bit nervous looking at that back line. But I think overall, they for the 70 minutes, that 11 acquitting themselves quite well.
Yeah, I would agree. So, talking about the lineup, it was nice. I thought it was nice to see Lamella get a start, Kofi, and I thought he did okay. He was frustratingly wasteful when he did have the opportunity, and you could see that he was frustrated with himself because he was able to get in a few decent positions and thread in Kane. And obviously, talking about Kane, he was looking frustrated. He was doing his classic coming deep to try and get the ball when we don't have possession type thing, which is just the most infuriating, because then we do have possession, there's no one up top. And it's just like, what are you doing? You can't do that if you're a main striker. So he also looked a little bit unfit, I thought, you know, but he is, I don't know. We'll come and talk about Kane in a bit. But firstly, Lamella's performance. What was your thoughts on him? And do you think he did enough to cement his starting berth against West Ham on Tuesday?
I've always thought Lamella was a different kind of player. And bizarrely, I've never quite got over that. So you see him getting stuck in, you see him making the tackles, you see him giving 100% absolutely for the team. And you think, where are the silky skills? Where are the, you know, the flicks and the dribbling around people? And he's not quite that player. So I think he did what he does really well. And yes, he was frustrated, and there were a couple of through balls that he could have played people in on. But I'm not sure if that is really his game. I think, you know, for a few years now, I've thought he's about to be the player we always thought he was going to be. And the guy's been very unlucky with injuries. Absolutely. So you're always kind of waiting. Is this going to be the real Lamella? Are we going to see what he can really do? And I do just wonder whether he hasn't quite got that finesse to deliver the final pass. But actually, what he is good at is being dogged in midfield, tracking back, tackling, getting a little 5-yard ball off, but maybe not that piercing through ball that splits the defence.
They were close, I think. Then there was a few times they were close. You could tell on the break. It was one of those ones there where the ball didn't run for him, or he played it a little bit behind Kane or a little bit behind the attacking player. So I don't think he was far off. And I thought he did okay. And it was quite a tough game in midfield. You know, they've got quite snappy players in McTominay to sort of like snap at their heels. And Fred, I thought he did okay.
I don't think he played badly. I think he's probably our best player in midfield. Certainly during the first half, he was one of the only guys that really showed up in terms of making an effort, trying to win the game, trying to grab hold of the ball. So I'm not, you know, berating him for his effort or, you know, his ability in the sense that he wanted to grab the game by the scruff of the neck. I'm just wondering whether, you know, he can play that ball that maybe Lo Celso can play. Mm. Or, you know, there are other players that can play a through pass slightly better than he can.
So were you surprised, Lee, at the tactics that Mourinho seemed to come out with, which were ultra, ultra defensive and something that we should never, ever be seeing in a home game in terms of how deep we were? He blamed it afterwards on the fact he said we had no attacking options on the bench, but he was playing that way pretty much for almost the whole game. So don't really understand that. Were you surprised? Do you think they were working? And should we all be very, very worried? Because if we continue to play like that, with that sort of mentality, then Kane is not going to get any service, and he is going to want to leave. There's no question that he will not want to play in that team. So I think it's quite a serious problem.
I think it can grow to be a problem. What I'll say about it is, I think the tactics that he kind of set out with were, I wouldn't go against them. I quite understood them. And I just get, as Tottenham fans, that we're not used to it, because we've always been, let's attack, let's get on the ball. And especially under Poch, we was pushing and pressing teams up in their final, in their close, right up by their goal once upon a time. And we became quite used to that and liked it. But over the years, it even dropped off with Poch. So what I will say is, look, he went out there against Man United and he didn't want to lose. And that's where I think he kind of lets himself down a little bit. He set out not to lose, not to win, but not to lose. And I kind of got it. I watched it and I thought, okay, that's fine. What he's doing is saying, if we attack them and we give the ball away, they're going to hit us on the break in the space behind. And James is quick, Rashford's quick, Martial's quick, we're going to have a problem. And I've got that. So he's saying, let them have the ball in the midfield. We will sit back and we'll make a line across the our 18-yard box and we'll make them try and thread balls through, or, you know, they'll have to come up with something special. And we'll do what they'd like to do and catch them on the break. And guess what? We nicked a goal. However, we were struggling. And we were struggling up until the drinks break. And I watched Mourinho, and he seemed to be playing the game in quarters. And we got to the first quarter and realised that it was hard graft. And you actually seen a good clip of him on the telly talking to Bergwijn and trying to reposition him and get, you know, ask him just to tuck in a bit more, you know, to mess around with, I think it was James's position a little bit, make him come back onto him a little bit. And ultimately, we ended up getting the goal from it. We then got to half-time. Brilliant. We go out the second half. You know they're going to come at us. And we got all the way through to the third quarter, if you like, to the drinks break. And United start making changes. And our changes, and this is where I thought he let himself down. His lack of changes were so bad, so embarrassing, that ultimately they was always going to score, because we were out on our feet. Harry Kane's knackered. He's running around with a parachute on his back. He's playing in centre midfield. And he said afterwards that, you know, well, he didn't have the bodies. he couldn't really change it. He's missing Moura. He was missing Ali. Well, I looked at our bench and we still had Sessegnon on there. We still had Ndombele on there, right? If Tanguy goes into the middle and you move Sonny up top and you stick Sessegnon out wide where Sonny was, you've got fresh legs. Ndombele can hold the ball up. He's good at tackling. He probably keeps them out. So for 70
and also his transition play as well, isn't it? Ndombele, that's what he's good at. He would pick up the ball in the 18-yard box or the centre circle, and he would travel with it, and he would move forward, which we weren't really doing because we just were absolutely knackered. So I mean, I don't think he necessarily should have taken off Winks or Sissoko. He could have just taken off one of the more attacking players. He could have even taken off Kane, and just packed out that midfield a little bit, but more advanced the midfield because they were so deep, like so deep. It was like almost Kane was on the 18-yard box. Like, it was just like ridiculous. And you're asking for trouble when you're dealing with that. And, you know, it's, especially when the players are mentally tired, obviously. And he didn't change any of the back four who were obviously tired. All of the players are going to be tired. They haven't played football in 3 months. Like, you know, I completely understand that. But alongside that, you must surely know that that if you are making changes, if Pogba's coming on, you need to be alert. You need to have players that are fresh and that are mentally up for it. And for me, bringing on Fernandes, playing him wide left, he looked out of his depth. He looked like very weak. He was just brushed off the ball a couple of times. He fell on the floor, tried to get a free kick, didn't get it. And it was like, Ndombele wouldn't have done that. And I don't know about Ndombele's fitness. We never know. But for me, that was the substitution. Ndombele should have come on. Skip maybe, you know, a bit of bite. Like, it's just...
If Ndombele can't play 20 minutes, then we're in all sorts of bother.
Exactly.
So he missed a trick there. I felt like we dropped 2 points. It wouldn't have been a great 1-0 win. It wouldn't have been one that we say brilliant, lovely Tottenham football. But you would have then said tactical, a tactical masterclass, if you like. And that's why he had it right for 70 minutes. But then the 20 minutes, he lets himself down and then says, oh, I didn't have this player and this player. Well, even by saying that, you kill Sessegnon, you kill Ndombele, you kill Skip and the other. You're killing them by just saying that, because they're sitting there going, you're allowed 5 subs, Gaffer, and you've only used 2. You know, you're telling me that I can't go on for 20 minutes and you can't trust me to do that job. So I felt like we dropped two points. I really did. It wouldn't have been the greatest one, but we dropped it. And listen, if we move forward like that, we're going to have a problem. And if we move forward like that, he's going to continue to frustrate the fans. He's going to continue to frustrate some of the squad. You look at our squad, and I think everybody's got to be bang honest and say, what is our weakest department? You go, we're weak defensively. Where's our strongest? We're strong offensively. Everything I've done has told me in life, play to your strengths.
Yeah, of course.
You know, play to your strengths. So listen, I'll take that one. We didn't lose. We didn't lose. So I'll take that. And I just hope the next few games that we see on paper that we should be winning, let's hope that we play to our strengths and those boys get more involved.
What was your most frustrating thing about the game, Kofi? Did you see that as 2 points dropped? And what are your thoughts on the penalty as well?
The way the game went, it felt like 2 points dropped, definitely, because we looked like we'd be able to get through to the end of the game. Obviously, when you saw Pogba come on, then you thought, actually, we need to change something as well. I agree with what you guys are saying, you know, whether Skip would have, you know, stuck on him and been able to chase him around the park, or and Ndombele could have been on him as well and would have been able to transition us from defence into, you know, an attacking move. Absolutely. I see that we didn't have the right personnel on the pitch at the time. The frustration for me, the main frustration, not being able to manage the game. You know, we've seen it so many times where we're ahead and we kind of don't know what to do. We either don't make
that the was right class, that was classic Poch towards the end, wasn't it? You know, we just
yeah.
I was sort of like, you know, game management, making sort of the little fouls, winning back possession, maintaining possession though as well. But I think fitness does come into it, but I mean, I just thought we were just so, so deep. It was just, we knew it was inevitable when they made those changes.
You just see them coming and coming, and it was horrible. And the penalty, you ask about that. I'm in two minds about it. One, it felt a little bit soft because it felt like Pogba was leaning into Dier and kind of was going to go over. But at the same time, Dier shouldn't have put himself in that position. Stand the guy up. And, you know, you could see what was going to happen. You know, Pogba's flicking his right leg and you kind of know where he's going to go. And he faints right, but you know he's going. Sorry, he faints left, but you know he's going right. And absolutely, it's really easy to sit on the sofa, look at it, and have that conversation. But should we even have allowed our centre back to be one on one with him? You know, is that the issue? Should we have had a midfielder that was going to chase Pogba?
And that was our fitness levels and our lack of personnel change, because Winks was stood there watching him. Winks should have doubled up on him, and actually Sonny should have come in from the other angle just to cut it off, just to make Pogba think twice about running into that. It gives Dier the ability to shut off the touchline, the only place that Pogba could go, because if he came back inside, if Winks was closer, he then sends Pogba back towards the edge of the 18-yard box. But fatigue had set in and we was hanging on, like you say, and we was on the edge of the box hanging on. So it's funny because you could see it from outside the box. He's outside the box. So it's got to be a penalty because all Pogba was trying to do was get into that box.
You could see it.
But when he's in front of him, that's when you leave the player, surely. I mean, I think if that foul was outside the area, I don't even think Pogba would have gone down because he just really brushed his hand behind him. Like it wasn't anything major contact wise, but obviously it's in the penalty area. So, but surely that's just classic, you know. If that player does bust you up like he did and make you look silly, you just can't touch him.
And I suppose that's the frustrating thing at this point, because we're still doing it. Or we got players that still do it, because surely everybody else is going, don't touch him now. VAR was never going to overrule it. And the thing is, it was off, whatever way you look at it, because actually Dier comes in from his side and gives him a nudge, or puts his hand on his back. And Pogba dives forward. And actually, if Dier really pushed him, he should have fallen off the pitch if it was natural. So he's bought it, which is why it's disappointing from Dier. I think just don't touch him. And it's soft, isn't it? It is soft. But boy, that's today's football. It's got to be a penalty today.
Don has just messaged me. He wants to come in. Something like, Don, what's going on? Come on. We've been calling you for the past half an hour. Now he's calling me. It's like, what are you saying? We'll see if he wants to come in and join us. That's Big Bad Don.
Let's have a water break.
Just a general sort of like perception, and it moving forward, obviously tactics wise, do you think this is what we're going to see, or do you think it was because of the fact that it was Man U, the fact that it wasn't a push, important game, the fact that we were obviously a little bit unfit, we didn't have those attacking options? Do you think he's going to be more expansive against West Ham?
I think some of it is down to the fitness. I think, you know, we've probably all watched a number of games in the last few days, and a few teams have looked lackluster. I think the atmosphere doesn't help, because I think when there's 40, 50, 60,000 people behind you, you probably run those extra yards with a bit more vigour. But I think fitness is part of this game, in that people haven't played for 3 months. They're back. You can see that Kane wasn't running the way he might have been running. Yes, he was deep, but he wasn't quite, you know, he looked like he's looked in the past when he's just come back from injury.
Yeah.
You know, quite sharp. So, you know, a game under their belts, a bit of training, you know, a team that absolutely don't have the personnel of Man United. We should put in a better performance against West Ham.
I actually was impressed with Hugo's performance. I think that deserves a mention, because first half, that was a decent save from Rashford. The obviously the header in the second half. I thought he did quite well. He looked reasonably solid. Didn't have a chance for the pen, which was really frustrated me, especially because all of my mates have Fernandes in their fantasy league team, and I decided to take him out and put in Saar for Watford, and that went completely in my face. So silly me. I thought Hugo did well, actually. It was nice to see him back with that sort of like shot stopping form that we like to see. So yeah, long may it continue. So it's game time once again this week. We're off to West Ham, one of our favourite stomping grounds in recent years. And obviously a massive derby for them, less so for us. They seem to absolutely hate us, and we do find it quite funny. They obviously got turned over by Wolves. Didn't look particularly good. So, but I mean, Wolves are a top, top team that are definitely up there with us. And I think they're 4 points ahead of us now, frustratingly as well. What are we expecting from West Ham? Are they going to put up more of a fight? Are we expecting a battle? I mean, obviously last season, they beat us, we beat them. It was frustrating. So are we expecting an open game? Should we be worried about them like we were against Manu? What are your thoughts, Kofi?
Unfortunately, I think they'll be up for it. You know, they're in a quite desperate situation, which, as you say, there are certain things about them that are quite amusing. But I think that they'll really have their tails up and want to get a result out of it. So it's one of those games where we need to start well. First 20 minutes, you know, if we're playing four quarters, that first quarter, we need to be at it. As you say, it's a big game for them, and we need to show that it's a big game for us, and we want to get into the Champions League.
Big game for them in terms of where they are in the league as well. I think obviously it would have been a big game for them in terms of the fact it's a derby and they hate us, but they don't have the fans there. So I think that's obviously going to have an effect. But they're in trouble. They are in trouble. So I think it's a real, really, really big game for them. A massive game for us as well. So Lee, how do you think it's going to play?
Just so we're clear, it's actually at our place, isn't it? So we're home. We're the home team.
Are we?
I believe so. I think we're the home team.
Are we? I don't know. I can't remember.
I think we're at home. Obviously,
because Jose was the first game away from home. Yeah, you're right. We're at home. Yeah, cool.
So,
to be fair, it obviously, as we've seen, it's not really making much difference, to be fair.
No. However, I think that they get lifted against us with their fans. I know their players try and pick themselves up a little bit. And yeah, again, along with the, when you look down the queue, they think it's their biggest game. Chelsea think we're their biggest game. Arsenal think we're their biggest game. The queue goes on and on. We'll have to start putting in 2 metres social distancing. They're all lining up. So we just don't take no notice of them. Look, I think on paper, we got to do them. And I'd like to think that we go out attacking a little bit more than we did Friday night. It's worth mentioning that once we've played this game, we don't play again for another 9 days. And then we bang out 3 games in a week. So these three points will be quite massive in terms of what's going on around us as well. So I think we make sure that we go out and give it our all here. And if players are flagging, I'd just like to see us make sure that we use the personnel that we got and keep it fresh, keep it sharp. When I look at what we've got attacking, we've got to be good for 2-3 goals there. And they shouldn't really be posing as too much of a threat. And any little buzz that they get from their away fans coming in ain't going to be there. One of the things worth noting is when we played, I thought our players looked quite relaxed, considering there was no fans around. I know some players struggle with the, you know, I'm not always there when Serge is playing, so you can't always hear me. But some players will relax because they, you know, the disappointment, the moans and the groans of certain players. You know, I laugh about Serge, but I know there's a large fan base to do with Eric Dyer, for example. I know there's not a massive load of Ben Davies fans there. So actually, it probably serves some players quite well. I hope it goes our way. I hope we attack a bit more. I hope what it will show me is if we go out and approach it the same way we did against United, we're in for a long, long 2.5 years or 2 years, whatever's left. It will be long.
And well, I hope it doesn't last that long, if that's the case. I think I just
hope we don't approach it like that. We play to our strengths. Let's play to our strengths. We've got an abundance of attacking quality there. So let's use it. Let's use it this time.
I'm hoping that will be the case. And to be fair, I mean, looking back at the Man U game, overall, I thought a draw was a fair result. And I thought that there were parts in the game that we did play well. I thought we controlled the game reasonably well in that second quarter, as you sort of like to put it, which is, second quarter. I thought we did okay. My main frustration was, like Kofi mentioned, like the sort of the game management in terms of just sitting back that deep against that team was just the wrong move and not making the right substitution. So I don't think it was the worst start. I don't think we looked like inept. I thought, you know, made one stupid mistake, but I thought we played okay against a very good team, you know. Where do you think this puts us now, before we get onto predictions, Kofi, where do you think this puts us in terms of the fourth and fifth one? Did we need that 3 points against Man U to be up there? Obviously, Wolves won. Sheffield United obviously lost today. So Wolves winning, the Chavskis winning as well. Chelsea winning today, frustratingly. They're looking like they're in a decent spot.
Before the game, I felt we absolutely needed it. It's a team that, you know, we're potentially tussling with for fourth or fifth position. After the results that have come through in the last few days, in regard to the teams around us, the point is okay. You know, I don't think we should feel comfortable. We still need to go out and win matches and get as many 3 points as we can. But we've been fortunate that a few teams around us have dropped points.
But I don't think the Scum were ever going to challenge. I don't even think that's something that was really... Were you worried about them? I mean, I don't really care. I mean,
and I'm talking about Sheffield United as well.
Sheffield United today was a massive shock.
Yeah, a big shock. Because had they have won, then it would make our result look worse, a lot worse.
Sure.
So we haven't thrown it away yet. I'm frustrated because we could have got 3 points. We could have been in a much stronger position. Mm-hmm. But we, you know... I'm not sure it's going to be 8 wins, but 8 wins and a draw will do the job.
Well, the one good thing, I suppose, is the fact that Sheffield United would hopefully, you'd like to see some form of a slap up the bum from Chris Wilder and get them playing better. They've obviously got to go to Man U next game. Frustratingly, they can't play their good keeper, which might be a bit of an issue. Also something else, which I didn't realise in the Fantasy League. So... well done, me. So you would have hoped they maybe, you know, what's other points prove. So you never know. But I think Man U's fixtures are pretty easy. So I'm not confident as I should have been if we'd have got those 3 points, because I think, they've got the easier running. So we shall see anyway. Who knows what's going to happen? So prediction wise for Tuesday, Don has texted in and he said 3-0. I'm assuming that's 3-0 to us. So confident that we're going to keep a clean sheet and confident that we are going to score a few, as Lee has already mentioned. So Lee, I'm going to go to you. What's your thoughts on the scoreline?
I like what Don's saying, but then I just go back into my shell. I'm going to go for 2-0. I'm going to go 2-0.
Okay, good. I like that we're still confident now. This is nice. We're not too despondent after the match the other day. Okay, Kofi, what are you saying?
I'm down with 2-0. I can see that.
Oh, I was going to say 2-0 as well. This is weird. What's happening?
Let's have it. Let's take it. We will take it.
We will take it. Okay. I'm not sure if Jose listens as much as Poch did. Do you think? I don't know.
We're going to have a word. We're going to have to
worry about
it. Does he listen to it? Do you know? I don't know. Not text me for ages. Okay. Well, we will see how it goes on Tuesday. At the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Apologies for making the error. I don't know why I thought it was. I think because we played at home, I thought our next game was automatically away. But obviously not, because we did play them earlier in the season, which was one of Jose's, if not his first game. I remember it well. Okay, guys, thanks for joining me this evening. Fingers crossed we're going to have a lot more positive news to talk about this next week. So please do join us next week. Once again, we're on This Is The Thing I Love Most show. We are on all the social media channels. Please check out, please subscribe, please share. Enjoy your week, everybody. Hope everyone is staying safe. And we will speak to you next week. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Kofi. And once again, come on, you Spurs. We're singing in France, and we're singing in Spain. We're singing the sun, and we're singing the rain. It's one of the softballs for the world.